You could be wearing whatever as long as you're delivering. The results are everything. Yeah, the performance is everything. Winning is everything. You don't want to create losers. You want to create more winners. And whatever it is that is a uniform that you're wearing, great. Because your audience and or customer is going to be appreciating that you're wearing that uniform, getting there, rather than, hey, you need to be wearing this certain color and this kind of tie.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Dave Behar. He is the founder, CEO, and chief executive athlete of the ION Network and Behar Brands. Like, is there anything he can't do is probably what you're asking right now. Where he creates innovative brands in tech, media, sports, health, and food and beverage, like these, because you got to have something to drink with all that food. Committed to personal branding and collaboration, he develops digital platforms that foster positive interactions and transactions. With a successful track record of building and exiting multiple companies, co-authoring two Amazon bestsellers, and serving on the Journalism and Media Studies Advisory Board at San Diego State University, Dave focuses on legacy and knowledge transfer to help others thrive. He is a thought leader of thought leaders. That's like top shelf, just like a margarita. He inspires through insights rather than self-promotion and enjoys sports and culinary adventures in his free time. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Welcome to you too. That's quite an intro.
We'll email Madison, see if we want to add some of those ad libs in there. They could be fun for other people. I'd like to hear how they present it. Maybe
they sing your anthem. The Kenny Lang is in my ears and in my eyes.
You got to ask me,
what did you do with that money? And the money for singing lessons.
That's going to be the crescendo of the show. Like, it's all leading up to, and now when you exited and you took all that money and you went into singing, how did that go for you? And what could you share?
Well, I can share the soundtrack.
I love it. Is that how you save money on all of your media, is you don't have to pay to license it? You just sang it all or beatboxed it?
Something like that, or at least royalty free tracks.
Exactly. That's how you go. I love it.
Although the artists pay me to use them.
There you go. That's, man, we need to add that. Sports media tech, royalty free or royalty full. Is it royalty full if it's not free? Anyways, that's a new category. I feel that's like we have three episodes baking just in this intro conversation. But tell me, Dave, today, what is on your mind?
Well, music now. I mean, we all want to be musicians, and hopefully we keep it all we're musically inclined. What's on my mind is just putting in another honest day, another honest week, and, where can it be the best? What else is there?
Yeah. I mean, for someone who has exited, written books, you're doing so many different things. One could imagine it's easy for you to feel, I'm just pulled in every direction. There's so many demands of my time, my expertise. And I know from going through your website, you're not just in the background of orchestrating, making decisions, being the CEO. But you're actually on screen, like you're in the mix, but it still seems like you have so much joy with it. Yeah. What drives that and drives you to do so many things, but not let it, make you jaded, cynical, angry, like, hey, it's great, I'm making a living, but, it's a train that I can't stop, so...
Well, I like the idea of getting out of the way of the train. And because there's some of those trains have trained and or let them do their thing. We're not going to get into caboose jokes or anything like that. But, it's great having a growing team that you know, we have shared vision, and you let them do what they're capable of doing until they don't, or until they may fail, or for that matter, I look at how I may or may not succeed as a leader, and so they can lead. And so it's a matter of organization. It's a matter of doing your best to keep continuously improving, and it's just continuing to lead. And some of those directions, I tell you, are in uncharted waters. As much as things seem like they're the same in terms of platforms and things that we do in media and such, there's still a great deal of innovation available. Mm-hmm. Rather than getting caught up in standard operation, everyone's a network now. Right. Everyone has at least what they think is a good joke and a good soundtrack. But, you know, it's all good. We just, as long as you have fun. And as long as the team has fun, no matter where they're at, whether it be, you know, in the office or in a virtual environment. So
it sounds like even though you've been in business for yourself for quite a while, you still have that entrepreneurial spirit. There's still more to figure out that we could try something here. And so many organizations get into, once they reach a certain level of success, get into that protective leadership. Like, okay, I broke through. I did the hard work. I was driven then, but dear God, I don't ever want to have to do that again. I'm thankful for it, but don't let me go through it again. And I just want to protect what I have. And I'm not to say that you're cavalier about these things. I think I hear, you know, there's wisdom, there's stewardship, there's delegation, there's trust and culture. But not at the expense of what else could we do. Has that always been natural for you? Or is that something that you had to cultivate yourself? Did you have a mentor that imparted that to you? How did you come about that?
Yeah, I would love to say, hey, here was my mentor. But I would say that I've been able to, I think, have multiple, you could say mentors, but points of reference that have helped be part of the collaboration that has occurred over the course of a career. And that's from both being a leading as from an entrepreneurial standpoint and doing a lot of innovation to just playing on great teams and helping other teams succeed. And there is all sorts of types of leadership. So, you know, I've learned from those things, but at the same time, have always been driven by what is the unique value proposition of those things that have been involved in or bringing those, that really helps be the driver that, you know, and then the drive that takes that product or service to another level of how to differentiate. And of course, I love differentiation. And differentiation is the driver besides what are the results that we're after. So from a mentoring standpoint, you know, as long as you have a great team and or the right collection of people and tools, you'll get there and have multiple CEOs as mentors.
Gotcha. That how you mentioned just like the, you know, things change, you're learning new things, you're cultivating.
Yeah.
How have you had to change your leadership as you've seen your businesses grow and scale? Because one thing in a recent certification I did, and now I'm implementing it with some clients, is really looking at the difference between growth and scaling and how leadership goes through, you know, in my terms, I call it whitewater, which comes from predictable success, but how the leader, your leadership actually needs to change through that. And that's a transition not everybody's willing to make, but it sounds like you've found a way to navigate it with these different reference points. What has that been, that arc been like for you in evolving your leadership as things have gotten much bigger, like just the one entity, but now you're over multiple, and I can imagine those things demand different things of you.
Yeah. I think really part of it is those you're surrounding yourself with or those you put into position, or again, you can use them as reference points. you know, it's a big world out there and people have their different ideas of how things ought to go. You got to remember that this thing in the digital space, people have their own experiences that they can bring to the table. And to think that your way is the only way, you know, I've never thought that way. I actually, from a kind of a leadership mode, and maybe folks think that way about, let's say, me, like, well, he has to do it his way. There's no question you have to default at all times to your way. Otherwise, you're not going to get there. But it's not even a secret formula. Is you've got to take those inputs and that feedback from others to make great decisions, and for that matter, to hit, you know, those destinations that you're after. So I don't know if that's in a way too metaphorical, but it's super important to, again, take into consideration everyone has their own experiences. And if you're assembling a product or a service or some platform, some great outcome, you're gonna need it because you don't want to have those blinders on, because the public or the people, your team will tell you and give their inputs, and for that matter, might be the actual driver where you're providing them input.
Gotcha.
Because
you don't want to be the emperor with no clothes on.
There you go. Yeah. And I don't know how good I look with no clothes on. I mean, but yeah.
I'm going to change the intro. Founder, emperor, and chief executive athlete.
Anyway, yeah, it's all good.
Oh, it does sound like differentiation, not just in go-to-market strategy, but also in your leadership. Like differentiation is a through line for you. And I really do love what you said about your way has to be the default, because I hear so much either or arguments about, you know, command and control sort of leadership. And then, you know, for the last, I would say probably 15, 20 years, I was just listening to a leadership podcast on this, is that for, you know, but past 20 years or so, it's really swung towards this no hierarchy, flat organization, everybody has input. It's sort of like the collective is leading, some sort of weird hive mind that would be on a superhero movie as the bad guys.
What's your favorite superhero, by the way, not to change the subject, but?
Batman.
Okay, good. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. He
Which used means his you pain. Know Danny, you know Danny Elfman, who was, you know, produced one of the soundtracks.
I've heard the name, but yes. Also love that Mark Hamill is the voice of the Joker. I think anybody doing an impression of the Joker is doing an impression of Mark Hamill doing the Joker.
Didn't mean to sidetrack it, Kenny.
If you wanna get into Batman, I am happy to talk Batman. And if you want to talk trash about Superman, I will talk trash about Superman. It's like, dude, he's just an alien. He's an everyday average dude on his planet. He comes here. Like, that's not special. Anyway, he's
so trash talk, Behar man.
Fair enough. I thought you were going to go, because you have a surfboard, you were going to go with like Aquaman. I was like, dude, he's got very limited powers. He's like, there's so many memes about it. It's like, hey, I bet you wouldn't try that if you were over here in the water. But
one of our offices where I'm at is a block from the beach. Good old Pacific Ocean.
I hope that if you run into trouble, it's in the water so Aquaman can help you, because if you're on land, you're just up a creek.
Lots of creatures out there. Go ahead.
Lots. Man, now all I can think about is Batman. But the differentiation.
There's Catwoman, right? And then there's Robin and the Joker and a lot of great cast of characters.
Yeah. Catwoman, Selina Kyle. I love that line, the storyline between her and Batman / Bruce, and they know, but they don't. But and then Robin has gone in like seven different directions. See, you really just, we need to have a separate podcast where we'll say leadership through the lens of superhero.
There you go.
But there actually is a book. The psychology of Batman. Somebody wrote a book about it. I've come this close like three or four times to just buying it. I was like, I really want to understand this. But then I was like, I'd probably be too convicted about my own reliance on myself and not wanting to include others, which is probably why I'm fascinated by your leadership of including others. But I do.
I unclusive.
Unclusive.
Unclusive. Yeah, it's part of our DNA.
I love that. Is that like a core value? Is that on a wall?
Absolutely. Eye integrity, eye inclusive, eye intelligence. It's the way it's got to be. You know, it's important. Yeah. It's embedded in our culture and in my little pea brain, you know.
I think it's probably larger than that. Maybe more like a lemon. No, I'm just kidding. Why do we always go to a P? Why is it a P always? No one ever says, you know what? Like, I'm not going to totally discount myself, but I don't want to inflate it. So it's not like watermelon brain, because that could be quite large.
Well, then there's the lemon law, and you got lemon. You say a lemon size brain. I mean, I guess that's an okay size for a brain, but.
Yeah, it's sort of like pregnancy where they always compare the baby as like, oh, it's the size of a grapefruit or a coconut or something like that. It's like, why did we choose vegetation as the comparative for new life? But anywho, we could apply it to brain size, I suppose. There's that. Maybe that's a show for the Ion Network.
We're ready.
Ion vegetation.
Well, vegetation would be the only word you need to use because that's iron at the end. Come on now.
Branding.
Yeah.
But I find the either or argument, I find most either or arguments to be incredibly boring and closed-minded. I think it's a search for certainty, which we'd like to cling to. But I think the wisest, most wise, I don't know, I didn't go to English school. People I know have let go of certain aspects of certainty and can embrace the tension of that. But so many people in that podcast about there's this swing back to, okay, yeah, enough of this like kumbaya stuff, like we're doing it this way, which again, I don't want to see us go into an other ditch. And it's just like, you got to be the lone genius who's just cranking out ideas and it's my way or the highway. And I dismiss everybody else because how could they possibly be smarter than me at anything? I think that's a smart way to think. One, I haven't heard articulated that way, so I really appreciate that. So there's a clip for the YouTubes. But
no, those are going to also be additions on Ion. That's EDT, EDIT, .ions.
There's so many ideas here. We're going to have to go to the transcript and interpret this. I'll have to feed it through Fathom so I can get a summary of what actually happened. But within that, though, what helps you know, hey, I should be taking in inputs? And then if you do take in inputs, because you are the chief executive, like you, the buck stops with you, how have you sharpened the skill of discernment, decision making, judgment of, okay, that added something, or I actually think my way on this is going to be better? Because I've also seen a lot of leaders, and as a matter of fact, I had a talk with someone this morning where he was describing his boss of just sort of like trying to keep the peace, but it was a false peace, a false harmony by, oh yeah, 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 like just taking in everything, and then they aren't actually leading. So how have you found success in balancing that tension of my way's default? I do want to hear from you. There's no guarantee I'm using yours in order to find the perfect ingredients or the right ingredients for success in whatever project you're working on.
It starts with a four-letter word, I think. And it's not what you think, but it's certainly super important. It's just plan. So you have the plan. Okay. And you plan the work the plan. And the reality is that if you're the entrepreneur, if you're the founder, the CEO, whatever role you play, I mean, it doesn't have to be the absolute, you know, top of the food chain or whatever, but if you're leading, you need to have your plan, and it then becomes the validation of that plan, or tell me how to do it differently, or suggest ways to have it continuously improve. And also like using, it's the simple terminology of versioning. And if you think about it, if it's a platform, and you can call it a technical platform, but just say a platform, there's different versions. There's a continuous versions that you know is got more features, more things embedded in it that are making your life easier, doing it better, all those different things. So as long as you're using versioning approach in your plan, and for that matter, your life plan, let's put business aside for a second, because the heart and soul of your whole, you know, being and success path is your personal plan and strategy, and certainly who you're surrounding yourself with, who you're creating a relationship with or relationships. So at the end of the day, it's about plan. That then allows for the input to happen because, hey, is this thing going in the right direction? Because it is then about direction. Not to use another iron word, but I mean, clearly it's about where is this thing headed, where we want it to go, whether you have to end up pivoting or not. And that pivoting might be as a result of somebody's input. And thank God you got that input. Say, hey, this needs some adjusting, or this needs a different look or a different feel, a different even way of articulating. And articulation is key because, you know, people have to understand where you want them to go. It's easier said than done, of course. I mean, quite frankly, you know, Kenny, it's like, well, you have to keep being able to talk about where that direction is. And that's where things like meetings come into play, whether they be short or long, to be able to just get to the destination you're after, or multiple destinations, depending what product space you're in or platform space, and where you need to convert better, because conversion is critical, right? If you're talking about trying to convince somebody to click or to watch and to do, and hopefully it's done in a reasonable way.
Gotcha. It sounds like it's with the versioning piece that has been really helpful in, hey, like we don't have to create the perfect, like heard the enemy of good is what's perfect.
That's a great way of looking at it, for sure. Yep.
Because you could get hung up on, well, we haven't collected all of the inputs, or we haven't, I think this is good, but it could be better before we go. Like, what will people think? And the other piece I heard from you and what you were saying is really, as whether you're the entrepreneur, the CEO, the senior most executive in the room, is that a lot of your responsibility is, hey, here's where we need to end up. Here's the outcome, is clarifying, articulating the outcome that we're headed towards, and then say, I have some ideas on how to get there. I know what the end state needs to be, but I'm holding the how we get there with an open hand. Is that fair to say, Absolutely. Or have I misinterpreted it?
No, it's great. Well said. I mean, who's your audience? And your audience, and or you can call it your demographic, or for that matter, age range of people that you want to engage. It's like, yeah, I mean, they may tell you, hey, this is where you need to go, or this is what we like, what we suggest, or just say, hey, here's the keys. Lead, go. And as long as it's understood, because they may not know necessarily how to get there, but they may know where that outcome ought to be, and have them own the outcome. Because at the end, that's a great learning experience, learning moment for that matter. Mm-hmm. And you want a lot of those folks involved in your organization, let alone on your team. And as long as they are into it and you have a shared vision and aren't going too far off in a direction that you then can't manage, because the buck's stopping with you, whether it be capital, whether it be, you know, some level of resourcing, because you may still be, you know, let's say in title running things, and therefore you have to own what that outcome is, whoever. But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, they may know more and better, because if you're talking about, you know, I don't know if we can put ages on this thing, what this, like, the topic is, but they have a different learning experience. I may bring old school. I may say, hey, I've earned my gray. I've hit halftime, you know, as a person, age-wise. Even though I've got at least another 50 years left, you know, in my life. But likewise, they may just have it more figured out because have second nature AI embedded in their soul. They may have, and not that that's good or bad. It's okay. It's taken into consideration, you know, as far as success path, especially when you're needing to adapt or adopt to the market where it's really headed. Because as you know, okay, things are happening really fast. I want to say they didn't happen as fast 20 years ago. And so we're here, right? And we're trying to stay ahead as long as we're having fun along the way.
So, yeah, there was
with the right people. For sure.
Yeah, because you know Moore's law said that like technology would double like every 2 years, like the advancement. And I've heard several people say that at this point, really since ChatGPT launched in 22, the speed of advancement has accelerated beyond what Moore's law articulated. So we're no longer operating under those assumptions, which could just scare the bejesus out of you if you want it to. And I'm not saying that there's a lot of debates. There's a lot of unknowns. And I think the unknowns, you know, probably scare people more than anything, but there's a lot of good and learning it. Like you said, adapting or adopting to those things is, I think, important, especially for those of us who are leading, whether for profit or nonprofit.
Yeah.
You know, a form of disruption is here. I was going to say is coming, but it's here already.
Yeah. Disruption, differentiation are key. It's just, what's your toolbox to make it happen, to sustain? And then the toolbox does include a team of some sort, whether it be internal or remote. And I think disruptive behavior is great as long as you're disrupting for, again, that great outcome that can be delivered, you know?
And like disruption with a purpose.
Oh, big time. Yeah, it is all about purpose. You got to be purpose-driven, I think, you know, as a company. It's like, What else is there, really?
I would agree with you, but you'd be surprised.
I'm just talking, it's what type of company are you leading and or trying to become or becoming?
Right.
And generally speaking, is anything is purpose-driven. Either it's on purpose or so.
Gotcha. Now, we've talked a lot about differentiation within leadership and what your experience has been, but I think it would be remiss if I didn't ask someone of your experience and position about differentiation within brands. It's actually something I've been thinking a lot about for just myself because...
Your personal brand?
Personal/business. I mean, they're sort of one in the same because I am the business, which is a weird thing. It's like when people buy Kenny Lang coaching, they're actually buying Kenny Lang and not in sort of like a sleazy, illegal way. But I thought, hey, there's other coaches out there. There's other consultants out there. There's other advisors. And then there's a whole debate about which of those three categories you might fall into.
Right.
And then you use this tool. Yeah. Okay, well, are you a commodity because you use that tool? I used to be a HubSpot partner agency, and the number of HubSpot partner agencies has exploded over the years. When I joined, I think there were right around 3,000 in 2015. And now there's more than 7,000 or 8,000 HubSpot partner agencies, and they're having to differentiate even within that ecosystem.
Oh, big
time. So differentiation, so far as I can see, is not a one and done, and you've had to iterate and evolve the differentiation with your brands. I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about I think people understand it and admit it. Yes, we know we need to like personas, avatars, know your audience. We got to differentiate. We got to go. I don't think people really understand, like, what does it mean to truly differentiate yourself in a marketplace that is increasingly more noisy, and it's not going to get quieter, especially because of all these AI tools, which now can sort of like give a faux brand voice to you.
Yeah, that is, you can call it a challenge. There's so much spoken about how AI is making things easier. And I mean, AI has been around for 20 plus years, right? Yeah. We just didn't know it. Although many of us did, it's a matter of where is it headed and how is it being used, and or how is it going to use us in the future, right? The differentiation part, it really comes from, say, the personal brand, you know, what your brand as a leader is, and the authenticity, not where you're trying to be authentic, but just you just have to be who you are. And then that should be attractive. It may not attract everyone for whatever reason, but that would be the key attraction, is your authenticity as the differentiation. And then if you have developed a brand that has some legs on it, has some great DNA, no matter the market, it's championing those parts, championing those pieces that basically should be different, because you do need to stand out or to have something that is different than your competitors, besides just, again, your reliability or authenticity, even a clever tagline or something like that. But you do have to prove that through. You know, and it could be, I talk about like personal branding. It's colors have a lot to do with that. You know, your personal brand, let alone your company brand. So yeah, there's such a thing called the color red, but what shade of red, what shade of purple? And purple, right, as an example, happens to be one of our colors, but it's the color of royalty and passion. And, you know, it's like not everyone dares to use the color purple or something for whatever reason, and that's fine. It's like, well, great. Then that might be another part of how we stand out. And and we don't talk about the color purple. It's just us. You know, it blends colors together. You know, it's not primary. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going down a little bit of a rabbit hole here, but
no, I love this stuff.
You know, you're talking about then also even the colors that you wear or the team wears, let alone what might appear in your digital platforms and in your marketing and stuff. So it's carrying some of those brand attributes out, colors, fonts. I know that becomes a, you know, something to say, oh, well, that's just something I can click on my computer and change, or have my graphic designer do this or that. But the reality is it's a makeup of a number of parts that ends up being unique. And you can obviously parallel uniqueness with differentiation. I mean, I'm not necessarily telling you something you don't already know, but to remind ourselves that your differentiation is probably right there, and your authenticity, even your personality, your sense of humor, that's could be quite different than being, you know, I can see that. And, you know, you're not necessarily wearing a coat and tie right now. That is part of how some people are project themselves and are, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Some people look good all dressed up, others not. It's just them. Mm-hmm. Right. Anyway,
I should get a tuxedo t-shirt and just
Well, that's for Halloween though, right?
I think it's just for Tuesday, but tuxedo, you don't celebrate Tuesdays. Yeah, and I get tacos in my tuxedo Tuesday shirt.
You can use a lot of T words.
Yes, just that, and that's what my brand is all about. The letter T. I drink tea.
Could be K.
Dude, okay. That's so hard to find other K words, but it is, the K is distinctive, which is why I've chosen the K in my logo. Is that's just the letter K.
Well, I mean, if you're into baseball, it could be a K for a strikeout, not where you strike out, but you strike people out, and for the win.
Yes. Where was I going to go? There's so many things, because I love talking about like the color psychology and fonts and getting into those brand components and what do they really communicate, and individually and collectively. But one thing you brought is like you being authentic. And I think, again, people hear that, but you just brought up a great point about some people, they choose to, you know, three-piece suit it every day because it's a Tuesday. And I go back and forth with, hey, you know your audience. What does your audience expect? What would they like to, you know, are they expecting to see you in a suit? Do they want to see you in a polo? Because I got to be honest, I love a soft t-shirt. I am a t-shirt snob. I don't want your heavy cotton. I want a tri-blend. are 50-50 from American Apparel. The track shirt is fantastic. But, and I love putting like fun things on it. I did that with my first company with my marketing agency that was part of our brand. And people love the t-shirts. But
remember, it's not about, as you know, one thing is, I don't think it's as much about what the audience expects. It's just what makes you feel good. I mean, you can use the example of what you're wearing for sure. But at the same time, it's just how you project yourself and how you are. And you could be wearing whatever as long as you're delivering. And
right.
The results are everything. You know, the performance mm-hmm. is everything. Winning is everything. You don't want to create losers. You want to create more winners. And whatever it is that right. is a uniform that you're wearing, great. Because your audience and or customer is going to be appreciating that you're wearing that uniform, getting there. Rather than, hey, you need to be wearing this certain color, or this kind of tie, or a two-piece suit, or there's a three-piece suit, or something like that. You know, so it's all good, man. Keep sporting that t-shirt.
I'm gonna clip this, and then when people tell me otherwise, I'm gonna be like, Dave said something different. So I don't know if Dave, if not everybody can.
My first couple startups were in the apparel business and okay. lifestyle products worldwide. Which, you know, I exited those two companies, but
yeah.
listen, if you're able to influence what people are wearing and make them feel great, and whatever logo's on them, mm-hmm. beautiful. And so, and for that matter, at scale, you're doing something right, and hopefully you can keep doing it, sustain it. Yeah, it's all good.
I think the part that people feel the pushback on is, I see what people in my, if I'm breaking into a profession or something like that, what is everybody else wearing? What is expected? I do think that there is this sort of like regression to the mean, which is, I think, antithetical to what we've been talking about with differentiation. Now, I haven't heard you say anything that would make me think differentiation for difference sake. Oh God, I dyed my hair tangerine. I'm different. Bright hair color is not a personality. And I don't know who needs to hear that. But that was what was on my heart. So how do you balance that of stepping into something, you're evolving, but you stay yourself when there is so much, and I say noise again, but there's a lot of influence. There's a lot of influential people. There's a lot of people that I may even look up to, and I watch, okay, they're talking like this, and they're wearing this, and they behave like this. And I want to learn from those who are ahead of me. Like I would, you know, I'm sitting here asking you questions. Like you're ahead of me as an entrepreneur, but how do you balance that? I want to learn from those who are ahead and successful. What could I mimic? But how do I also not lose myself in the process? Because I do hear that from other entrepreneurs.
You're just taking notations and seeing what works for them. When you talk about seeing how they've succeeded, it may not be in the same market, and you may not have the goals of that, where they've taken things, whether they have different set of resources or track record or not. So all it is I think just taking notes and those nuggets from those that you say are above you or ahead of you. Mm-hmm. They may not be ahead of you. You may be just, you know, you need to be ahead of your own path and stay on that path and taking notes along the way. You know, it's like mm-hmm. being on a nice trail, whether, you know, things in the woods or along the coast or something like that, checking out the birds, how they're flying. I mean, I know it's going off on a little tangent, but really you're taking it all in and saying, okay, it's validating where you're headed, or, hey, gosh, we might want to fly a different way and breathe a different air and not just be in this location, be in these other locations. Cause it's closer to your customers or mm-hmm. where your happy place is. And, once you get to that point, you've got it. And that would somewhat define your leadership role or part of it, because you're where you want to be. I'm not going to say no matter what your success is and what your revenue is and, you know, what you're putting in your pocket, but okay, now you're at a great place. And to go from there, no matter what anybody else is doing, because it's a big world out there. I mean, here we are in a world of, we may truly see our first trillionaire. We definitely have so many billionaires, and being a millionaire. So it's like, okay, so is that your reference point of, let's call it just that money figure? Well, what does that consist of? Does it consist of assets? Is it liquid, you know, or is it, you know, in a field that they may not have built, but just bought into or something? So, you know, again, we have to make up our own plan. And as long as you have some good reference points, you're in good shape. And as long as you're happy and are surrounding yourself with the right people or right relationship. Things you already know, but still, at least how I see myself guided and making sure to keep things on track.
Yeah, I think we need to be reminded more than we need to learn new. You know, I hear that through
stay organized.
The other thing I hear you saying throughout all of this is just making sure you're defining success for yourself.
Totally.
You know, as you talked about the blend of like, well, what's your personal plan and business plan? But all of that goes, I mean, you're one person, right?
Like your life plan and what things do you need to include? And that's, it's kind of like its own conversation. So you have your checklist of and things that you know and discover and have experience with as you grow up. But I like to have some level of reference to kind of not just a game plan and a playbook, but, you know, you're on the field going down the field, and in the football metaphor, it's like, hey, I reached halftime. And so this is the next stage is in quarters, you know, type of thing. And it's like, okay, where do you want to be? Where were you in the first quarter? Okay, didn't achieve this when I was young. Mm-hmm. Second quarter, okay, you know, we're getting towards halftime. There's been a halftime show. What do we want it to be? Who's singing, dancing, or performing? You know, anyway.
Yeah. But, apparently, you'll be singing if the beginning of this episode is to be.
Penny Lane is in my. All right.
Dave and I will be dancing later.
No, we're not going to be dancing together, but you can. I'll watch.
We'll choreograph. We'll get some choreographed dance moves going. Well, Dave, I've really enjoyed this conversation. You know, if somebody's listening and they say, you know what, I think I've not just taken the advice, but I've let other people dictate personal, professional success. They've become more than just reference points. What's a baby step someone could take in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to really start to discern, understand, and document what success is for them?
First of all, you know, you are in control of where you're headed, no matter what obstacles you have. But, you know, get your pen out, not necessarily your, you know, your laptop or phone to input that. And that is, yeah, just write down kind of where you want to be and, you know, plan the work and then work the plan. Put it into timelines, true dates, so you can crystallize those. It's part of the destination. And you just go. You know, it's what's on your wish list. What do you want to achieve? And if it's a entrepreneurial situation, what do you want to disrupt? And there's no time better than now to do it, because somebody else may have already gone down that track. You just haven't seen it or researched or whatever. But the time is now to go and write down what resources you need and make that part of your plan. And it could be very simple. You don't have to worry about, gosh, I need to go now, you know, open up a bank account or register with the state or city or whatever. Yeah, those things are essential, but how are you going to change the world? How are you going to, and then just document and in one sheet and keep it on one sheet, keep it simple and just then go for it and plan to dedicate time each day to make it happen. And, I don't know if that's, you know, the best answer. It's not for everybody, but.
No, I love that. And I've seen that work times when I've really stopped to write some things down and get focus and get that clarity, because it is so hard. Like, because everybody's voice is at the click of an app. I can hear what everybody else thinks, including about what they think about the last thing I said, and let that tell me everything about where I need to go.
Execution's critical.
But taking that agency back, I'm a huge fan of that. I try to advocate for that with everybody. I mean, it's like you are in control of where you're headed. And some people say, no, I'm not. It's like, you're not a victim of your circumstances. Like, and I'm not saying that people haven't been through hard times or in a tough situation or anything like that. Yeah. Lord knows I've had mine. I don't think I've had it the worst. I'm not in a competition to see who can be the biggest victim, but you do get to decide what you do next with what's in your sphere of control. And so I love that.
What's if people want to know, by the way, it's part of it too, whether you're not really necessarily documenting it as part of this plan, the first thing you could do, like you were suggesting, but you do need to know where you need to stay away from or what mistakes not to make anymore, because you've already made them, whether you own them or not, or whether you will admit it or not, they're in the past. Now it's the time to go forward. And then what's the strategy? What's the plan?
Have a to-don't list.
There you go. That's good. Very good.
Kenny, that's want to know. That's good. I've heard people advocate for a to-don't list. And I was like, I should probably have that list. Should probably be a lot longer than the to-do.
Can I use that royalty free? I might pay you in advance royalty on that, Kenny.
I will make tens of cents off of that.
But you have common sense.
Yes, some people would argue with that. But if people listen to this and they say, hey, this Dave guy's onto something, I'd love to know more about his work, what he's into, or maybe just follow up and connect with you. Where would you send them? What should they know? And then also your books, where they can find them.
Amazon, just let's look me up by name, Peak Performance, Mindset Stuff, under Leadership and Entrepreneurship. But you can hop over and like, we have thousands of channels, thousands of local channels and category, Ion Sports too, et cetera. But ions.com, great four-letter word. And then dave@ions.com, throw me an email. I respond to all that, especially if you have the time to reach out to me. I'll spend the time to reach out to you and respond. But you can also upload your video or show at ions.com and we'll work towards distributing it and have you achieve whatever greatness you're after and whatever ambition you have. So
I love that. It's refreshing to see people trying to do good in the world of media. So thanks for carving that path.
Sure.
Thank you, listeners. I hope that you had a lot of fun. Lord knows Dave and I did. So, maybe we just needed a break in our day to laugh. But I hope that you got something impactful out of this and it made maybe a jog, a run, a drive a little bit better. Take the next right if you're driving. And that's going to be right for somebody. But if you would like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the right button is on your platform of choice, I would greatly appreciate it. And leave a comment. I want your feedback. I do this because I have fun, but I do it because I want to add value to you and I want to have conversations I wish I had the benefit of when I was on my leadership journey. I still am, and I'm still trying to learn every chance I get. Leave a comment, and you never know who you could bless and help along their leadership journey by engaging with the content, because algorithms love that stuff, and it could get in front of more people that need to hear these types of conversations. And it's a free and easy way for you to pay it forward, and that'll make you feel warm and fuzzy as you go to sleep tonight. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you do. We'll see you.